look at my face in the mirror, I know I'm worth nothing without you. And like one and one don't make two, one and one make one. And I'm looking for that free ride to me. I'm looking for you.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. But that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Now let's get this rocking.
Almost there.
All right, that's gone. The music is gone. I'm going to close that and change this one setting, and then we're ready to go.
All right.
All right, here we go. Recording on.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's halfway through the month of December. It is the 16th.
This is the last full week of stock trading of the year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because next week there'll be a day off, and same with the week after that.
I think it's a half a day and a day next week.
Yeah, that's typical.
And then the last day of the year, there's no breaks. It goes right to the end to make sure everybody has whatever they have to do, whether it's distribution issues, whether it's sale issues, whether it's buying, whatever has to happen, they're not going to limit you on that. And you have the Friday too, which nobody will be working, but there is that Friday after New Year's. That's on the 2nd.
2nd. Yeah, that would be after New Year's.
Yep. Well, it is the last chance for those participants that have won in the past, the Close to the Pin on DH Unplugged throughout 2025, to get in on the action. A few of you have already put in your price guesses, and we have announced those. We have sent you emails. And, you know, if it ends up only being 3 people out of the 8 that signed up, well, that's a small pool, and that's we'll have the opportunity. But I would wager, because I think there is still a little time, there is, let's see, there's 3 days, 2 hours, 57 minutes, and 37 seconds for those who are in the pool and in the running to sign up. So you still have a little bit of time. If I was doing it, I'd wait to the very end as well, right? Why?
Yeah, why take a chance?
Well, let me get as close as possible to the date.
Well, it also could be a market, could have some sort of a catastrophe, and between now and then it would turn everything around, or some ridiculous good news would come about, or who knows what.
Yep, exactly. It is Happy Hanukkah time. 8 crazy nights. It is the 3rd night of Hanukkah. So I wish you a Hag Sameach, a happy holiday, and a happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, well, same to you.
Thank you.
I can't pronounce it.
I haven't gotten any gifts, now that I think about it. Did I get any gifts? No, I've given some. But
I would have mentioned, by the way, that the little 6-pack you sent me.
The wine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you had a Dominus in there.
And?
Well, I haven't. I didn't crack these wines open yet, none of them. But that's a good one.
Well, you deserve it, sir. We've been palsy-walsies for how long?
12 years, 14
at least
years.
Something like that.
Years.
Right, a long time.
Actually, we met at the little restaurant in Berkeley about 2 or 3 years before we started doing the show.
Yeah, remember that. And then we met on the stage of Twitch. Have you talked to him at all?
No, not for a couple of years.
Is he still doing his thing?
Obviously, he's not as successful as he used to be, or you wouldn't have asked the question that way.
That's true.
But yeah.
Leo Laporte, interesting dude. We have sad news about Rob Reiner. Awful situation there. Terrible. Just the whole thing. The Fed decision is out. We'll talk about that. That was last Wednesday. And we have overdue economic reports coming this week. Some of them have already been published. One of them today that was kind of interesting. But a lot of it is still pretty much in the dark. We're pretty much in no man's land, black hole of economics. That's where we are. They just got sucked up. And some of the ones that are coming out are going to be just estimates. Have you ever? Well, it's kind of funny. On one hand, I say it.
Yeah, actually, I have. This has happened before.
When has this happened?
This happened back in the IPO era, the one that was really hot in the late 90s.
That there was economic data that was just estimates?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about, okay, I'm sorry, I got mixed up. I misheard you.
Oh, what did you think I was talking about?
About IPOs, because I was looking over the sheet here and I was reading about it.
No, we're talking about economics.
Yeah, you know, I could probably save myself by coming up with an example, but I can't.
Yep, there was none, in fact, of the, we can go back to, I think, 48. So that was a good 80 years ago, give or take a couple of years, that the BLS started putting out the unemployment numbers. And I think this is the first time ever that they've skipped.
Well, it hasn't been that long.
No, it could have been longer. Could have gone back to caveman times. Oracle's still problematic. More news coming out. We'll talk about really interesting stuff that's happening there. Again, I keep using the name poster child of the AI potential bubble, or the overstatement, or the circular financing, or the vendor financing, or the open AI horseshit that's being slinged and slung with regard to the future potential. I mean, I really wish I could have, in my business. What they did is kind of illegal, saying how much we're going to make for you and that how much we're going to make for our company, and then promise the world. If I said something like, you know, I guarantee that we will, or I will.
Yeah, but they're not guaranteeing anything.
They're not guaranteeing because they can't. Right. But even if I said the things they said, If any other company said the things they said, they're private too. That's another thing. They're not regulated.
Well, you can say what you want when you're private.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. SpaceX IPO is coming probably in 2026, but it's been a big discussion over the last few days and the huge increase in valuation over the past 3 months. Wait till you hear the numbers that are being bantered around of what the valuation of this is now. And you and I have tracked this for some time.
Yep.
And I had the opportunity to get into some of this. And now I look back on it and think, wow, that it was a minimum $250,000 to get in. It was a 15% initial take by the firm as a commission. So that would be, for there, you're talking about, you know, $35,000, $40,000 right there, right? It would be 20, yeah. 250, right. Half, $32,000 commission. Then it's a 2% annual fee as they do nothing but hold your money, hoping that SpaceX becomes something. Then they take 20% of your profits, which is all good. If you think about it, if the 250 is now a four timer, so what if they took 35%, 40%?
Yeah, you come out ahead.
Yeah. So that's going on. And but really interesting on I don't even know how they're coming up with these valuations. We have another bankruptcy going on right now. We'll talk about that. Oh, the big news. Oh, boy, there was some money to be made here. And I thought about doing it, but I decided, well, we'll see what happens in a minute or two. We have now the Kevin and Kevin. We have Kevin and we have Waller. Kevin Waller. So we have Kevin, which is the Hassett.
Yeah.
Which is the, again, I just have to say it every time.
Next Fed chairman.
Ill-fitting shirt and tie.
Yeah, right. The guy with the big 16-inch neck on a 13-inch neck. Yeah.
I can't take it. And then and a real round head, like Son of Yellen. Okay?
Yeah.
Another South Park character, by the way. And then
I'm not going to argue with any of this. It's pretty funny.
And then we have Kevin Walsh. Who is actually, in my opinion, probably the best of these, most level-headed, it seems, not necessarily going to pander to anybody. And then you have now Waller, who is being interviewed as well. But the two, Kevin and Kevin, are the big numbers. We'll talk about what happened there. Really fascinating stuff. Weight loss game continues. Oh, my. A triple this time. Not one receptor, not two receptors, but three receptors. And not only that, you can cure knee pain with this drug all at the same time.
Wow.
Yep, there's big news there. And we're going to save one thing. I'm going to do a little open-ended, nondescript teaser. We got a doozy for the end of the show. So you ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Tesla, all-time high. I think it hit 495 today, something like that. Now, this is with multi-year lows of car sales.
Yeah, I know, it's ludicrous.
And you have to wonder, what is this all about? Is it because maybe somehow there's an attachment to the whole SpaceX deal, the excitement about SpaceX? But I looked and Tesla doesn't own any SpaceX. I mean, Elon does, of course.
SpaceX could buy them.
That's possible.
Elon likes to do these kinds of consolidations.
Yeah, roll it all up, right? But now...
Yeah, roll it up.
But will they at this price? Maybe. If SpaceX does go public, he's going to be worth something about north of, I don't know, $600 billion? Which is larger than... What do you do? There's no FDIC on that, by the way. Just to be clear.
There's no what?
FDIC insurance at the bank.
No, of course not.
Yeah. His movement in any given day of that stock could actually buy or sell a bank, a regional bank.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
So what's going on? Well, the prospect of robo-taxis is living large in the heads of investors. And
people talk a big game. Meanwhile, we have them.
Do you like them? You have Waymo.
Yeah, Waymo. Waymo's that they gave the Waymo. First is in San Francisco and L.A. And then they're now rolled it out. So I think on January 1st, they'll be in the East Bay, which is Oakland, you know, the whole East Bay area, Berkeley, and all the way up to Sacramento.
Are you going to, have you been in one?
No.
Will you go in one?
Sure.
I think you need to do a boots in the car report.
Yeah, I probably should.
You should do a boots in the car report.
People that, all the people I know that use them,
yeah,
and there's plenty because they're doing quite well for themselves. They used to use Uber, and they find that these are better. They don't have to deal with the driver,
yeah,
and a tip,
right, and stink. It's sometimes a little bit of a car smell from all the people in and out and the sitting and driving all day. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, there's an element there. I haven't run into that because I don't use those services that often.
Yeah.
I like to actually like to drive.
I will tell you, though, that the differential between Lyft and Uber, I've been to many cities, and Lyft consistently is cheaper by a long shot. Like, I can go to the airport here, maybe Uber will cost me $18. Lyft could be like $13.
Hmm.
That's a decent percentage-wise savings.
That's a big savings.
Yeah. So I always go back and forth and check. I don't know why there isn't an app out there that will consolidate, kind of like a Kayak. You know the Kayak app?
Why not?
Why isn't there an app now that will consolidate the best price and bring the best price up to the top? And the best price and closest car. These companies don't have APIs?
That's a great app.
I don't understand.
You already stumbled onto one.
I don't understand. I can't imagine that I'm the only one that has thought of this. There must be a reason why it's not out there.
There probably is.
Yeah. So what else? Wall Street never sleeps. The new thing. NASDAQ is filing to extend trading to 23 hours a day on weekdays. Ugh.
Oh, why shut down at all?
The computers need a break. Got to put a little oil in there and change the
be a little lube job. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Reason to shut down at all if you're going to do that.
They're shutting down for some reason. I don't know why, but 23 hours probably aligning.
Make sure that the books are properly rigged.
There is something probably about closing the day and then reopening the day.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that. It doesn't take an hour to do that. You can do that instantly.
And when is that going to happen? Is that going to be at midnight what? Eastern? Greenwich Mean?
It either has to be Eastern or Greenwich Mean.
Yeah. Now, banks are concerned about this because they're concerned about investor protections, cost, liquidity, volatility, risks of nonstop trading. I'll go along with that, that there is some liquidity. Already there are stocks that are traded 24 hours a day. Like the SPY, the QQQs, but the volume and the interest is really small. Now, the reason that this is being pushed is because there's a talk about this will be really helpful for global traders that want to trade, for example, Apple, but they're not up in the middle of the night and they want to trade on the U.S. exchanges. Or they want to change.
Yeah, I suppose the problem is the risk of, you know, of a runaway market is just too high. I don't understand why they do it.
There's one big reason why they do it. They want more fees.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the reason, but they're asking for trouble.
This reminds me of what happened many years ago with the holidays, where all these stores decided they were going to stay open during Thanksgiving. Remember that?
Vaguely.
It was they said they'll have more selling days ahead of Christmas, and then slowly but surely, they all decided, all right, we're closing down. Stores were open. All of them were open. I mean, this year, I think Whole Foods was open until like 11 or something, or 1 o'clock. But Publix, all the supermarkets were closed. Pretty much everything was closed. And of course, you know, the one day of the year that this particular type of restaurant closes, which is probably brilliant. You know what? Ethnicity is closed.
Yeah, we're talking about Jewish and the Chinese restaurants.
Chinese restaurants are closed on Thanksgiving, at least down here. Well, everywhere that I know, which makes total sense.
Why?
Because most people are not eating anything but turkey.
Including the Jews.
Yeah, no, it's Jew. Yeah, of course. Well,
it's on Christmas.
Sunday night is Chinese food night.
This is a Sunday night.
So, you have to have, if it is not, if it's, if you don't have Chinese food, it's not a Sunday. It's just not possible.
When did that start?
It's just not possible. We had Chinese food last night. It was horrible.
Oh, you got to find a good restaurant. Oh, Chinese food is fabulous if you can get somebody knows what they're doing.
There, down in Florida, there is a...
Can you cook the cuisine, by the way?
There is a few items I can cook, yes. I can make like a stir fry with black bean sauce, or I can make, you know, some of the... But I can't... So that stuff is very... You need so many different...
I can cook the cuisine well.
You can, but you have to...
I have a store down the street called 99 Ranch, which is a large, monstrous supermarket that has all the ingredients that you can't get.
Right, it's the ingredients. The ingredients. I mean, I make some things like I use fermented tofu with the sesame paste and make this really good like hack chicken, hack noodles, which is a Hunan dish. But a lot of the stuff is fried. I don't like to do that in the house because it stinks. But I'd rather find a good place. Dumplings I've made.
That's a challenge.
Dumplings are interesting. They're hard to make. Soup dumplings are very hard to make. Very difficult. You have to make a gelatinous kind of core so it doesn't, you know, then wrap it. But I have the whole wrapping and the closing the dumplings is just too difficult. I don't like all that. But I do have one great, as a matter of fact, I'm going next Monday for lunch to a place called 1010, which is a dim sum cart restaurant, which you have plenty of in your area.
Yeah, even though the best one that Mimi and I've found in the West Coast is actually in Victoria, Canada.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fabulous place.
Yeah, I love that.
They have a little miniature Chinatown in Victoria, and they got a dim sum restaurant there that's just a stunner.
Love that. Love that. So, anyway, I don't know how we got to that from... Oh, I got the Thanksgiving and Chinese food, yeah. SpaceX, let's talk about that. This is Elon Musk's other multi-billion-dollar company, aiming for a potential $1.5 trillion market cap with an initial public offering IPO in 2026, which could become the largest IPO in history. It will be.
The Aramco IPO.
That one was, that wasn't that big. Let's see, what was that?
That was the biggest in history.
Well, it was then. Let's see what it was. When Aramco came in, it was $26 billion it raised in 2019. This offer sold about $1.87 trillion. Yeah. So maybe this is the largest one in the United States? Largest IPO. Maybe it's the largest IPO in the United States.
The largest IPO in IPO history.
Well, Aramco was 1.87.
I thought you just told me it was $226 billion.
It was $26 billion raised, but then don't forget they have the treasury stock they hold back. That's what they let out in the float. The total of it was 1.5% of the company, and it valued at $1.87 trillion.
Okay. Well, that yeah.
So,
so it was bigger.
Yeah. So let's see what happens there. The largest IPO in history eclipsed Alibaba's previous record. So this could be the largest in the U.S. history. So here's something interesting. In July 2025, I went back and I looked at some of this. That's not too far. But you could look back probably the beginning of this year. Bottom line is, in July 2025, the tender valuation was $400 billion. That was the last we heard, too. $400 billion, $400 billion, $400 billion. Now, all of a sudden, 4 months later, it's $800 billion. And now we're going to have the potential for this to be worth $1.5 trillion within 1 year.
Doubled and doubled again right before your very eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if this is going to play, but everybody's getting really interested in this. I have people that don't like investing in stocks talking to me about, hey, can you get this IPO for me?
This is a bad sign.
Yep. I've seen this before.
Yeah, I've seen it before too, and it means the market's going to crash.
Anytime... We used to get IPOs very regularly, but anytime I was able to get a full allocation to an IPO, I decided that was an IPO I didn't want to be in.
It makes sense.
I just said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it's like a club that would have me as a member.
Yep, exactly. Starlink is the primary money winner of this deal. That's the one that's making all the money inside of SpaceX. They are talking about like rolling up XAI in there. And XAI keeps getting ridiculous multiples and valuations as well.
It's ludicrous.
But I will tell you, Grok is kind of interesting. I told you I did some stuff with Grok. It's snarky. It's interesting. It's fast. I will tell you that Copilot has been the Copilot chat, I should say. I've been yelling at this guy. If there's the potential to have a crime against AI verbal abuse, I'd be getting arrested right now. Okay.
What is it telling you?
Well, what's happening is if you don't shut it down, it seems to only go back. So let's say I'm talking about Apple Pie, and like a few hours later, I go back to the app and I'm like, hey, I want to talk to you about a quarter inch pipe fitting that's involved in, you know, what is the best way to connect that with, should I use Teflon tape? It would say, so you're thinking about Apple Pie and a refrigerator. I'm like, what? No. Or I'd come back and say, oh, let's go to that deep dive. What is interest before? So if I said the same thing, if I came back and said, let's talk about the quarter inch pipe with Teflon tape, it says, tell me, what is interesting you about plumbing? Like, I'm not asking you to have a conversation.
This sounds idiotic.
Give me my answer. Now, but if you shut it down or restart it, it kind of restarts back to square one.
So it kind of gets stuck on your earlier queries.
Yeah, it's really kind of strange. It's like almost you have to, even if you said, if I did the same thing, I said, okay, let's have a new conversation. It would say,
it won't do it.
It would just start talking about dumb things.
You know? Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't use it. I've never used it at all. I hate it because it keeps interrupting me. I just think of it as Clippy on steroids.
There's some good things I like, but maybe I should try a different model. I have short answers on there, but maybe there's a different model I can get because it annoys me. It's like, oh, so welcome back, Andrew. What can we dive into today? Always the diving.
Diving is like a big deal.
And then if I said the word like oregano, like, oh my, oregano, what a wonderful spice. And, you know, I was talking about Oregon, not oregano, you know, something like that. Just stupid. Let's see what else here. Rob Reiner, saying goodbye to him. Sad situation. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you only get killed by your kids.
I find that such a horrific thing. The image of waking up to a deranged child with a sharp knife or something hovering over me, hacking up my wife or something, and then coming after me.
Well, he slit their throat, so I think he snuck up behind them.
While they were sleeping? Or
I don't know how or what. I mean, all I know is when you slit somebody's throat, usually that's it for them. And then if you're nuts, then you stab them a bunch of times because you're irked. I mean, it seems like the way to do it. It's the safest way if you want to.
Do you think you need practice to slit somebody's throat?
That's a good question. I mean, you probably should have some knowledge that you picked up somewhere because I don't think it's trivial.
Yeah, because you need to probably get the right spots too. I mean, you have to do a wide, you know, like in the movies, like around the whole thing. You ought to get the jugular and all that, right?
That's what causes the mess.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't just want to do the center because, you know, that probably is just going to be painful. But, listen,
thing is grotesque.
Yeah, grotesque. I have a story about this. It's a little bit of mini grotesque situation, a dumb ass amateur move that I did this weekend in the kitchen.
In the kitchen? Oh, you cut yourself.
Yep, I took out a brand new spanking brand new mandolin.
Yeah, a big metal one?
Yep. A brand new one, and I decided I'm going to...
The good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. Let me tell you.
I have one of those, the Dynamite.
Let me tell you, it could slice.
Oh, yeah. That's why I wear chainmail gloves when I use it.
Yeah, so I had the gloves, it came with it, and the protecting thing. You know, the one that you put the fruit on or whatever, and you have the spikes, and you can use that?
Yeah, you stick there, you just got to you stab the food, and then you go nuts.
So I was doing a lemon. I'm like, okay, let me do this. I'm like, this is not a good idea.
A lemon.
This is not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Yeah, you have
not
to use a good idea. Japanese, one of those sharp little handheld mandolins the Japanese make that are very small, but they're super sharp and you can cut it. You can do a lemon.
I have that as well. But this one was super sharp. I'm telling you, I was gliding over just slicing this lemon. Okay? And I'm like, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I'm like, ow. That was that.
But you had the chain mail on?
Nope.
Oh, brother. If you're thinking to yourself, I shouldn't do this, that's when you put the gloves on.
Well, this is like the second time I've had an incident like this. The first time I was getting on my boat, I clipped the top of my index finger, just deep enough to be painful.
You're making everyone listen cringe.
The last time I did one of those, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this, I was carrying a cooler in my left hand, something in my right hand. I had to do a large stride from my dock.
I shouldn't do this. You got to stop and think when this happens.
Yeah. I took a large stride from my dock to my boat. And the cooler in my left hand pulled me back, lost my balance.
Yeah, because of the swinging. Yeah, you got off. Yeah, right. It would do that.
Yep. Pulled me backwards, and I lost balance, and I just went straight down at the water. Fortunately, straight down at the water, because I could have smacked my head on the concrete dock wall.
Yeah, you could have.
Could have cracked my head open on the lift, on the boat, 100 different things, and nobody would have known that I was there.
You'd just be floating there dead.
The only thing I can tell you is that my camera did catch it, and I do have that in my favorites on my phone. So if you ever want to see that, I'll send it to you.
Oh, bro. Well, I don't know that I'd want to, but okay.
All right, headline alert. Here it is, the headline. Copper could hit stratospheric highs, new highs, as hoarding of the metal in the U.S. continues.
Hoarding?
Yeah. Now, since this came out, copper's gone from $5.77 per metric ton, or however it's calculated, to $5.30. Where copper is right now, that's the future symbol is HG, which I believe is that its periodic table number?
No, the periodic CU.
I wonder what HG stands for.
I thought it was like HG. It's not silver. It's mercury, maybe?
Why copper?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Symbol.
I don't have my periodic table hanging here.
Let's see what it says. High-grade metal. It's the standard of the high-grade metal.
So it doesn't have anything.
High-grade copper, yeah. So, if you look back and you look at a chart of where copper is now, and you stretch it back a number of years, this is the sixth time it's been at this price since 2011. So that's a six-topper. You know, we talk about double tops, triple tops.
Yeah, I never heard of a six-top.
Nope, neither have I, but it seems like it's a pretty rough area to get through, number one. But if it does, it could be dramatic. Now,
well, that's no good.
Yeah.
We don't want copper to be dramatic.
No, you don't want this going up. It's in everything. Copper is a major component of car. Yeah, start stealing it out of your.
They're stealing it now, but you can imagine.
Yeah, nobody's going to have any kind of coils in the refrigerator. Everything's going to go bad. Take it right out of the back. So this headline thing, though, this copper could hit stratospheric new highs. You got to wonder if somebody is trying to corner the market or something. Copper's traded pretty heavily. So
maybe they're trying to dump.
Maybe, but I was thinking about like, when was the last time we saw this cornering the market trying to like, that was the Hunt brothers.
The Hunt brothers trying to corner silver.
Yeah, back in the 80s. Silver went to 11, from 11 to 50, then crashed.
Yeah, it crashed.
Bankrupted the Hunt brothers. The COMEX changed their rules and forced them to cover all their positions. Yeah, that was a margin. It was ugly. So I don't know. Is this something? I don't think it's as dramatic, but I thought the headline was kind of interesting. Maybe it was a significant bull out there trying to really push the price through that resistance that a lot of people probably have their stops on the short side.
Maybe.
So.
Get a blip.
Yep. So it was a good run, 35 years in the making, actually. The vacuum cleaner maker Roomba, also known as iRobot.
Yeah, company I hated.
Yep, filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, too bad.
Yep, should have been there. You could have been a hero. Following warnings issued earlier this year that it was fast running out of options, iRobot says it's entering a Chapter 11 protection. There's no 7 anymore. 7's just out of business. 11 is, we're going to reorganize. We're going to screw all the shareholders. We're going to screw a lot of the bondholders. Somebody's going to give us a chunk of money, and we'll just continue on. Yeah, we'll continue on. So They're going to be acquired by its contract manufacturer, Pasea Robotics. Now, the company says it's going to operate continually with no anticipated disruption in its app functionality. Their customer programs, their global partners, supply chain relationships, or ongoing product support. So everything is just fine. Now, if you remember, little quiz here, John, there was a company going to buy them at one time. Do you remember this?
Vaguely, but I cannot tell you what company that was.
Amazon.
Oh, I don't I don't remember that. Okay.
I'll tell you what happened. It was 2022. Amazon was going to buy them for about $1.7 billion, and there was all this hullabaloo. The idea was, oh, this is brilliant. They're going to map your house. They're going to take this robot, this iRoomba, this iRobot right, thing.
Now I remember. And yes, mapping the house gambit.
Yeah, and there was going to be
because
like...
Because everyone knows that there's nothing more valuable than a map of your house. Right.
So, but the big thing was, oh, iRobot's going to go and it's going to see like you have a lots of, I don't know, breadcrumbs on your...
camera in there and check to see what you own.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have... It's going to It's going to bump into toys and know that you have kids in the house and start advertising to you toys. Or it's going to find that, they spilled a lot of tomato sauce. And immediately on your phone. Yeah, dog hair, whatever it is. And then you're going to start advertising to you. This can't happen. This can't happen. This is a horrible thing. So this is the greatest. This is great. Primarily in the EU was a problem. There's a whole antitrust competitive concerns with Amazon and a floor robot.
Because it's it's anti-competitive because of Amazon's other robot vacuum cleaner.
Right, right.
Which doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. The greatest thing about this was Amazon walked away with a $94 million termination fee.
Oh, good for them.
Which,
no wonder these guys are going out of business.
Yeah, which totally killed the ability for iRobot to ever write themselves. We had one in the office for a while. Kind of goes around in circles. It tries to find which way back.
My neighbor has one, and they keep a very tidy house and this hardwood floors, and it's the robot works fine there. But if you have a house that has any sort of anything that's challenging. Thick carpets is one of the things. There's a lot of variations. It's useless.
Well, and if you have any chairs that are like around a table, it won't go. Can't get under most of them.
Yeah, it can't do that.
It keeps going around in circles.
Yeah.
And
there's competition. I think that's maybe better. I think coming out of China.
Naturally. Well, these are built in China now. This is basically essentially going to be a Chinese company now.
Yeah, that's. Yes.
Because the manufacturer, the contract manufacturer is buying
everything.
Let's talk about the Fed, shall we? The Fed pick situation is really interesting. President Trump said on Friday that Kevin Warsh has moved at the top of his list as the next Federal Reserve chair, even though Kevin Hassett remains in contention and in the running. A story came out from the Wall Street Journal about this. It's interesting because... this days after, I remember this because I remember Hassett saying something. And I'm thinking, that's kind of interesting. Why would he say something like that? He said that he would not let outside suggestions influence his voting. And one of the things I was thinking about, the reason why Hassett was in the running was he was pretty much a lapdog for President Trump, considers himself a friend and worked closely with him since 2017. And I think... Hassett really is trying to make the case by being on TV all the time lately, by the way.
Yeah, he's been on a lot.
A lot. And if you listen to him, I could be wrong about this, but most people I don't think are impressed when they listen to his way of being and his ability to command the lead position at the Fed. He doesn't have that leadership quality, in my opinion. I've heard this from a lot of other people, too.
In your opinion, he's got no gravitas, the old term.
Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, why would he say something like that? That would probably piss off Trump.
Well, not if Trump told him to say it.
Well, that's true also. so that it makes it look better. Well, here's the thing. Trump has talked about when he made the announcement that Warsh was in the contention and looking really good. He repeated an assertion that he's made in the past that the Fed chair ought to consult the president about interest rate decisions. And I heard President Trump talking about, you know, he's really smart. He knows the business. He's been in real estate. He knows the markets. He knows the economy. He's got the information, and he should be at least consulted. Now, he didn't say I should make the decision. That's not something that was said. But he did say that he should at least be in the mix somehow. Now, more interesting than all of this, because how did this happen? How did we go from Kevin 1 to Kevin 2, and now Waller's in the mix? Well, I think I may have mentioned, if I didn't, I'll mention it now. About a week and a half ago, before this happened, the prediction markets. We know what these prediction markets, because polls are no longer a thing, right? We poo-poo.
Everything is a prediction market.
Right, we poo-pooed the polls, right? These presidential polls, the congressional polls, and all these, they basically said they're not worth anything anymore. So now the prediction market.
That's pretty much what we're trying to do here, yeah.
Yeah, now the prediction markets are all the rage.
Yeah, they've been a rage for a while, but now they're really, ever since everyone's sold into them, we have everybody and their sister with prediction markets available. And once they became popular and marketed, they became, in fact, I think logically they would become predictive in some funny way, yep, more so than polls.
And the line
put in mind, this is like having an opinion, but having an opinion and putting money
exactly
on it.
Putting your money where your mouth is. And I think there's some good things here. I think the predictive markets are pretty cool. There's some definite things there that are interesting. But what I was thinking about when it came to this was, about 2 weeks ago, I saw this prediction market was about 93-94% in favor of Hassett. And I said, this to somebody in my office, I should put some money down on no Hassett. In other words, it would cost...
That would have been a good bet.
It was a 5% to...
Yeah, so they give you 20 to 1.
Yeah, 21 basically on this. So I didn't do it. But meanwhile, now the prediction markets are about 50% in favor of Hassett, give or take. That's still a big move. That's still a 10-time... That's a 10-bagger right there. From 5 to 50. So I think it's kind of interesting, and I just was wondering if you thought that there was any chance that the theory that we had many...
The whole thing is rigged.
Yep. You knew where I was going.
Yeah, that's what... obviously, this is what you do. This is how you make money on the side. Be part of it. It's a prop bet is what it amounts to. We've talked about this on the No Agenda Show every Thursday and Sunday, 2 p.m., the No Agenda Show. You should check it out, noagendashow.net. We talk about the prop bet phenomenon and how easy it is to rig. Sports especially. The prop bet is you're going to catch five passes and you've already caught in four. And the half's running down. You got to catch five and a half. You drop the last one. You right in your hands. Oh, I dropped it. And then it turns out your sister-in-law just made $1 million.
Well, we know that there's a couple of different players that are being sanctioned because of this. Yeah. There's a pitcher, some basketball players.
Yeah, the pitcher threw the ball in the dirt. Oh, whoa, sorry, a little bit outside.
So, I don't know. Was this rigged? I don't know. Big payday for people in the know, though, and I don't think this is something that's easily tracked or is being tracked. This is not like a – it's not a
security. They don't have enough investigators to track it. You just – you know, the way these markets work, there's money in the middle, and they just take that no matter what.
So do you think this needs to be looked into with people that can make this?
Who's going to look into it? The FBI? How are they going to prove it? It's impossible. Gambling should be illegal.
Is there a prop bet or a prediction market that will be whether or not this will be looked into?
With the investigation for the bad prop bets, you're going to go over it. That would be a prop bet. Yeah.
So ridiculous. Housing prices, the average home price is down on a year-over-year basis. First time ever since, I think it was, 2000, early 2024. Active listings in November were nearly 13% higher than November in 2024, But new listings were just 1.7% higher. In other words, houses probably, that means probably, because we could say, well, that's good. We have active listings. Well, not really, because if houses selling quickly, they take down the active listings very quickly too, right? So this probably means that houses are on the market for a longer period of time.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Prices in Austin, Texas are down 10% from last year. Denver down 5%. Tampa, Florida and Houston both saw prices fall 4%. And Atlanta and Phoenix saw price decreases of 3%.
They were increased?
Decreased. Atlanta and Phoenix saw price decreases.
Anybody increase?
There was a few here, and I'm sure Miami. That's Fort Lauderdale. It's just dumb. But there's a few places around. But generally speaking, the overall issue is that prices are down, and listings are on the market for a longer period of time.
Yeah, it's a slowdown.
Yeah. Then you have what's happening with Zillow, another housing issue, another housing related story. Zillow shares plunged 9% on Monday. I wonder if they came back today. Let's see that. Because Zillow stock price today. Up 2.5%.
Because of their shenanigans?
No, not at all. Actually, it's because there's a new competitor, Google Search. Google is running tests on putting real estate sales listings into its search results, like right there, with everything you need to know. With everything you need to know. Now, I'm not sure where they're getting this from, but
they're getting it from Zillow.
Yeah, they're getting it from somewhere. And that's Zillow was pretty upset about it.
Yeah, I bet.
Yep. Well, the stock was upset about it. That's what it was. The black hole. The black hole of economics we talk about, where there's some estimates coming out and there's some other news coming out. Today we saw the BLS put out the November jobs number, the jobs report out this morning. It was supposed to be out the first of December, the first Friday in December, but that didn't happen. There's the first ever gap in the critical data since 1948. Some data is going to be estimated, but basically we saw 4.6% unemployment rate, a little bit better, actually a little bit worse than anticipated, with a 64,000 addition to the payrolls. So we're going to also see some, it's not going to publish the headline CPI number or the so-called CPI number, the core. So that's not going to happen for October. So we're not sure what to do about that. There's a PPI coming out. There's some other things coming out. What else do we have? ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing both slowed over the last month. So we're seeing a partial picture at best. And with that partial picture, John C. Dvorak, I'm not buying any of it. I'm not relying on any of this data to be accurate.
I think it's probably all wrong.
Yeah, I think the revisions will be pretty substantial. Meanwhile, even though we have a vacuum of economic activity information, the Fed decides, we're going to cut rates. They were split, and it was a pretty big split, actually, where the priority should be whether to, you know, cut interest rates. It was a 9-3 vote. There was some dissension. There were some other things. The dot plot also indicated just one more reduction in 2026 and one in 2027. A lot of disagreement about when and what should happen. So in addition to the rate decision, there was a 25 basis point cut in rates. The Fed also announced that it will resume buying treasuries. Now, this is something we talked about. They were going to stop the quantitative tightening and go back to buying the runoff bonds. So when a bond matures, they'll buy them back so that they have the same amount on their books. But in this meeting, they said they're going to start doing it immediately, which was kind of like, huh? What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, that means this $40 billion in treasury bills they're going to start buying on a monthly basis. What it means to me is that there's a liquidity problem out there and they need to continue pushing funds into the system. It was very confusing at first, because at first they're like, well, we're not, you know, we're going to reduce rates. And it was a little bit hawkish, but then it was very dovish. And then they came out with this thing. And then you have to question, is the bond buying just something they're doing just to be safe? Or is this something they see? Is the fact that they reduced rates and did this at the same time a reaction to something? And, you know, with the fact that we know that there's data they don't see, so how is it all happening? Is there a bigger concern? So
it's probably data we don't see.
Yeah. So a larger group than usual of regional Fed bankers, the presidents, signaled they opposed the cut. Six policymakers said the benchmark Fed funds rate should end in 2025 at the range of 3.7 to 4, which suggesting they oppose the move. So long bonds haven't moved at all, but this happened. So there you go. One of your favorite places, Costco, came out with earnings, beat Wall Street's financial expectations for the first quarter sales revenue. Sales rose 8.2%. Digital sales jumped 20%. Compared to a year ago in this quarter. So they surpassed the quarterly growth expectations, post year-over-year sales of 8.2. That's great. More digital sales and open new locations. Earnings per share 4.5 versus 4.275. And in addition to that, they had revenue slightly higher than was anticipated. And what else do we have here? Costco didn't provide, and they don't provide year-ahead guidance. That's something to look at. Now, the stock is down today. It's at $830. I believe it was down at a 52-week low. Let's take a look at this. This is monthly. Let's go to 1 week over this period of time. Yeah, so it was in the beginning of this year. Let's see here. 12-1. That's not right. 5-1. This is the dumbest chart I've ever seen. Okay, here. This is the worst chart I've ever seen. I don't know where this came from. Bottom line is a 52-week low. I know that. So there you have on that. Or close to it. Year-to-date is down 5.61%. Now, what's interesting on that note is... Sure, the stock's doing pretty well. So I don't know what the problem is, John.
Yeah, Costco. I own some Costco.
Good company. All down a little bit, but in a decent tape is not so good. Now, here's some fun facts. You want to hear some fun facts?
Sure. Costco has lots of fun facts.
Yeah. About 4.45 million pies were sold in the 3 days before Thanksgiving, which is roughly equivalent to 7,000 pies